All right. So thanks for coming on Channel 9 again, Scott.
Cool. My pleasure.
All right. And we have another face here. People might not have seen him before, at least on C9. Who are you?
I'm Christian Schulman. I'm director of program management in the Expression Group. I'm responsible for product strategy and product design, especially for Expression Blend.
Excellent. So Silverlight 3 RTM, congratulations, guys. That's very, very cool.
Thanks.
So I want to talk about, you know, briefly, we're at version 3. And I want to kind of go back a little bit in the past and think about the initial vision of Silverlight. I'd like just to reflect on where we are and you know, how the course has changed, you know, as you release. Let's talk a little bit about that, right?
Well, you know, we kind of announced Silverlight about 2 years ago, and for the very first time. And then we shipped kind of the first release of Silverlight about 18 months ago,
uh-huh.
And we shipped the second release about 9 months ago, and so, you know, today we're shipping the third release. So it's been a fairly fast kind of turn of the crank, and,
yeah.
You know, from a, kind of our vision of where we were when we first announced it 2 years ago to today, I'd say it stayed fairly consistent. You know, our goal with Silverlight was to kind of enable, you know, kind of next generation media and what we call rich internet applications, or RIA solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still very much kind of the vision and the goal of Silverlight. We've added a lot of capabilities over that time. And so, you know, both in the media space as well as in the RIA space,
mm-hmm.
You know, including with Silverlight 3, the ability now to build both RIAs in the browser as well as outside the browser on the desktop. You know, we've certainly, you know, added, you know, more features than you could possibly imagine. We still have more features we're going to add.
I'm sure.
But, you know, I'd say the original goal in terms of kind of how do you build, you know, how can you enable user experiences that go beyond what people expect today?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, as a developer and a designer, create those, you know, as easily as possible and much faster than you can in the past?
Mm-hmm.
That vision stayed pretty much the same. It's just been, you know,
sure.
Making that vision come true has been kind of what we focused a lot on.
And I'm, of course, one of the, let's talk about your side of the house.
I think one of the really important aspects of Silverlight is that it's really been one of the first UI platforms that has really been designed for toolability for designers. It has been designed so that it's much more cost effective to actually get designers really involved in the process of creating software, which is something that has always been a problem. And as we all realize that in order to get better user experiences, we really need other people than just developers involved. This is a real, real important factor, and I really think we're now at the point where we're probably having the best developer-designer workflow story and integration story in the industry. And you know, from the people who are using it, I think they start really to appreciate the efficiency and cost-effectiveness that we can achieve with Silverlight.
Excellent.
I'd say also in terms of one of the things we often talk about with Silverlight is kind of how do you enable designers to be part of the process? And
yeah.
So, you know, I talk to people, you know. Certainly to a lot of shops and a lot of development teams where that makes total sense because they have kind of official designers that are part of the staff or part of the project. I talk to a lot of small shops, though, where people are both designers and developers, and the same problems of like, okay, I want to build an attractive app, or I just want to build an app that doesn't have to actually look super special and attractive, but I want to have really good usability. I want people to be able to understand the app in a really good way, and I want to be able to deliver it to a client, whether it's a big client or a small client, and I want to make sure the client's really happy. I think those are things that even if you're a one-man person working on a project and you're playing both the developer-designer role, developer-designer site author role even, that, you know, these same characteristics of how do I design for great usability, kind of how do I iterate, how do I get feedback, and how do I build the best possible experience? That's something that everyone has to face. And I
Absolutely.
Think that's one of the things that's nice about where we're at, I think, now with Silverlight, both from a platform capability and then also from a tooling side is, you know, kind of as Christian mentioned, we're at this nice inflection point where we have a unique set of capabilities that no one else is offering today. And not just on a competitive side, but from a UI platform and app experience side, it's something that we've never had, even for building traditional Win32 apps in the past.
Sure.
And now we have kind of this the best of the richness of the client, deployment of the web, and then having these tools that kind of allow you to very easily exploit that.
Yeah.
Is kind of a nice trifecta to have.
Absolutely. And one of those new tools is Sketchflow.
Yes.
Which, of course, at Mix, as you know, and we're going to link to another interview on Channel 9 where you can learn about sort of the basics. But let's talk about that. I mean, Sketchflow is incredibly useful from a design to development perspective. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Sketchflow is basically a set of prototyping tools integrated in Expression Blend. And, you know, when you go out, and we've done that a lot, talk to product designers and people who actually design user experiences, developers or designers, you often hear that, you know, one of the major pain points in that is, you know, like the inability to cost effectively create compelling prototypes quickly and easily. And I have made the same experience. I've been developing and designing UI for 20-something years, and it's just been always painful to, you know, like make the prototypes that allow you to really evaluate what is a great, you know, what is a great UI. And, you know, as the old saying goes, the best way to have a good idea is to have many of them. Quick prototyping is just a great thing to help you to get to a great design. And so Sketchflow is basically a tool that enables you to very, very quickly with, oops, I should probably switch off my cell phone before going into interview. Sorry for that.
No problem.
So Sketchflow basically is a set of prototyping tools that make it really easy for you to quickly sketch out the flow, the navigation, the composition of an application, and to explore it from the very first moment on. So whatever you build in Sketchflow is a real WPF or Silverlight application. And you can start out with something that is just basically a storyboard made out of rough sketches, and you can evolve it and iterate over it, you know, and make it as real as it needs to be to communicate the design intent you have with your prototype. You can use animation for that. We have a state model that allows you to interactively model states. You can do navigation. You can use data binding and all our data modeling features to really playfully, interactively build data-bound, data-driven applications. You can use behaviors to add real interactivity, all that in a very designer-friendly and quick environment that doesn't require you to go down to code. And really, it's about making prototypes that can be as real as they need to be.
Excellent. Very cool. So let me ask a question, because we've talked many times, and this the notion of really rapid iteration from version to version. What is it about Silverlight and your technology, and perhaps your alignment, obviously, with the CLR, I mean, with .NET in general, that allows you to pump out all these releases so quickly? Besides, I'm sure you're a slave driver, you know. What do you mean you can't come in on Sunday? I'm just playing. So can we talk about that? How do you do these quick iterations? What is it that enables you to do this that we've not seen really before from pretty much any of our products? How does that work?
Well, I think there's a combination of things. I think one is, a big one is we are building on a lot of the investments we've already made. And so, you know, things like the CLR, things like .NET, and, you know, it goes beyond just sort of, you know, CLR and kind of .NET, but it includes, you know, C#, VB, Link,
absolutely,
the core class libraries, ASP.NET on the back end, like all those things are investments that we've had. And so we've taken that code, Silverlight includes a version of .NET and the CLR built in, and so, you know, we pulled out some of the things that aren't needed, but, you know, a lot of that core engineering work we've been able to leverage, and that's given us a huge head start. And I think the other thing that we've done is from the beginning, you know, from the get-go and the code base, is also just designed it to in a nice way so that it maintains good portability. But also just from an architecture perspective, we've kept the code very clean, and that's given us the ability to kind of rapidly evolve and execute. And I'd say, you know, the third thing is just from a team perspective, I think we have kind of the shipping religion, so to speak. And, and we're in a very competitive environment. I think, you know, building, you know, next generation browser experiences, whether it's, you know, competitors like, you know, Flash and Flex and Air, whether it's, you know, competitors in terms of, other client runtimes, whether it's other browsers, you know, it's a pretty fast moving space. And so, you know, for us, you know, we've kind of set a goal of, you know, let's make sure we do a really good job of prioritizing the feature set, let's keep the runtime small and tight, and then, you know, let's just chip. And, you know, the reality is if you can continually deliver, and if the team knows there's going to be a release, you know, not too far off the next one, you know, it helps in terms of making the right calls and prioritizing, and you can get a lot of stuff done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On the tools side, it's also, we're using actually our platform ourselves, so Blend is actually itself written entirely as a WPF app, and part of the reason why we can ship so quickly and with so much stuff in a release is that the platform is just enormously productive for doing this type of stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. Blend is obviously very UI heavy as a tool, and mm-hmm. You know, I've built authoring tools for artists for a long time, and usually all in C++. And you know, a tool of the depth of Blend would easily be, you know, like 3 to 5 times the size of what it is. And Blend really is only, with all the depth it has, like 600,000 lines of C# or something like that,
wow.
which is amazingly compact, and compactness really maps to much more agility itself. So it's really a productive platform to work on.
Excellent. I mean, that's the theme of this, is just being productive. The last question I would have is, if you look out on the landscape of the internet, it's clear that JavaScript and HTML are still, that's what people are programming to today, right? And it's like, so when you look, sit back and you look at the landscape, does it worry you at all? Like when the notion of like HTML5 and things like this, does that concern you? I mean, it's just like from that sort of your perspective when you look at it, that's really my question. I mean, is people still love JavaScript? It's a very, very strange language. And that's why people like it, because it's so wide open as far as, you know, it's not typed. Mm-hmm. So let's talk, you know, it's very dynamic. Let's talk a little bit about that. How do you think? How does that make you feel?
Well, I think the thing about web developers and about web apps today that I think it really stands out, you know, and this is true for all platforms, all tools, and pretty much all developers, is the fact that people are using a fairly heterogeneous set of technologies and tools. Mm. You know, people are using HTML, they're using JavaScript, they're using CSS, they're using different design tools to generate graphics. They're using, you know, almost inevitably, if they're building an app, they're using a server platform, whether it's ASP.NET or PHP or Java.
Sure.
There's typically higher level frameworks and libraries on the server side that they're using, you know, whether it's a Twitter library or whether it's a forum plugin, or whether it's, you know, data access technology or caching layer. You know, they're typically using, you know, very few people are writing raw JavaScript in the browser. They're typically using a higher level JavaScript framework.
Mm-hmm.
It might be jQuery, it might be ASP.NET Ajax, it might be, you know, MooTools or Dojo or Prototype or what have you. And most sites are using some type of plugin, whether mm-hmm. it's Flash or Silverlight as well. And, you know, and you know, when you look at that kind of diversity, I think one of the things that stands out is, you know, developers aren't ever going to build, you know, a pure one stack solution,
sure.
whether it's pure Silverlight or pure Flash or pure Ajax. You know, the reality is they're going to use the different techniques that are out there.
Mm.
And you know, as long as you have a technology or framework or library that can add unique value, sort of history so far has shown people will take advantage of it.
Totally.
And that's really what we're trying to do with Silverlight. Silverlight, I always say to people, is not about replacing HTML. HTML has a unique set of characteristics and a bunch of things it's great at.
Mm.
And, you know, future versions of HTML will add even more capabilities to it. It's a question of sort of, okay, well, how can you add to that, and how can you basically provide an additional set of hooks or capabilities or scenarios that extend it and make it even richer? And how can you do it from a development perspective so that developers and designers can be productive with it?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I feel pretty good with Silverlight in the sense of, you know, especially if you look just even the last 18 months where we've come from, but you look at Silverlight 3 and, you know, there's a laundry list of 100 or 150 things that, you know, you can't do with HTML 4 or 5 today. And or even with Flash or with other things. And, you know, as long as we keep, you know, innovating and keep adding to that list, and as our deployment numbers continue to go up, I don't think we'll have a problem in terms of adoption or deployment. The day we stop innovating, the day, you know, HTML can do everything that Silverlight has, hey, then we have a problem. But, you know, that certainly we don't have a plan to. And we're not going to, you know, as we evolve Silverlight in the future, we're deliberately not going to sort of position it as or try to add features that make it an HTML competitor. HTML is going to be great at certain things. We're going to continue making sure that HTML is great at certain things. It's really about, okay, well, how can you add even more capabilities? How can you go even further?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you do it also with a developer kind of framework and a developer platform that you know, takes advantage of .NET, allows you to leverage your existing .NET skills if you're a .NET developer, lets you leverage that performance, and then also have, you know, great developer and design tools that can plug into that to be successful. If you do that, then that's great. And certainly from, you know, as we think about the rest of .NET, we think about ASP.NET and the server, mm-hmm. we think about Expression Web and the Expression Tools line, we think about VS, you know, we're going to be embracing HTML and HTML5 as well,
sure.
With those products. And so it's, you know, from a developer perspective, hopefully our overall platform and tools line gives you a pretty nice option of using all of those great technologies and, you know, giving you also some nice integration between them so that, you know, if you do choose to take advantage of all of them, it's a really nice experience.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
I cool.
mean, that was a great answer.
Cool.
And I wasn't trying to be, you know, hey, ask Scott a rude Q&A, but it is just something I've been thinking about mm-hmm. lately. And so, but I... Like we do always on Channel 9, we can't end quite yet,
okay.
right? Because there's this thing, one of the things that was really interesting to me in the talk that we had prior to Mix, when it was beta version of Silverlight 3, was Silverlight out of the browser.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, inside of my own head, I'm like, wow, that's cool. So I could basically write one Silverlight app, and it could either run in the browser as when you go to a website, or I could just have it run on my desktop.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Well, I mean, basically, and we've done a couple things. One is, you know, with Silverlight, we, you know, provide kind of a runtime environment for running an app.
Sure.
And so what we've done is, for the out-of-the-browser support, is we actually, you know, from a technical perspective, we basically implement our own process host that, you know, takes advantage of the native windowing layer on the operating system, whether it's Windows or Mac. Mm. And we can basically load the Zap or the Silverlight app into.
Okay.
And then, you know, and we basically then provide into the app additional object model hooks so that you can know, hey, I'm running out of the browser. You can do things like update so that if there's a new version out of your app, you can automatically pull it down and auto-update the app. You know, we provide hooks that you can provide icons so you can integrate with the desktop or the start menu and things like that. And then we also provide some nice hooks so that you can integrate with the networking stack of the OS. So you can detect, is it wireless on or off?
Sure.
Does it change? And so, you know, nice thing from a developer perspective is we kind of shield you from a lot of the infrastructure necessary to build kind of a traditional desktop app. You know, we instead just provide kind of this nice infrastructure. And so at the app level, basically you toggle some metadata that says, hey, I support out of the browser. You optionally give us some resource icons to use. Mm. And we kind of handle the rest.
Nice.
And then you can choose to take advantage of some of the additional APIs that we provide to light up even further. But, you know, it ends up being a pretty nice experience from a developer perspective. And the great thing from a consumer perspective is when I install one of these apps, I still have a browser-based sort of security model.
Mm.
And so I don't think of it as installing an app or, you know, there's not a security dialogue that says, you know, this thing will potentially steal all your private data and make you cry.
Yeah.
You know, instead it feels much more like a favorite. And so the dialogue is, you know, hey, do you want to save in the start menu or the desktop? Little checkbox, okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a cancel too. But, you know, it feels like saving a bookmark or a favorite as opposed to installing an app. And so that also means, I think, from a consumer perspective, both for installing as well as cleaning up the app, having that kind of friction-free, you know, no crap left behind on my system kind of model.
Yes.
It's kind of like what I want when I want to go and visit a site. I don't want to have to worry about registry entries. I don't want to have to worry about spyware.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of capability is going to be something that a lot of people are going to be interested in.
Absolutely. I think it has a very, very bright future. And one company not to be named has proven that, you know, simple installation
mm-hmm.
is a very, very good thing. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what people do with that.
Cool.
But hey, thank you.
Yeah,
you guys really are amazing. I wish we had more time. But, I mean, 3 releases in 18 months. Come on.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Cool. Thanks a bunch.